happened in one of the rooms.
Okay, so yeah, Kyle did partly.
evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Faithful Word Baptist Church. It's very good to see you all here for our Wednesday night service. Please find your seats now. Grab a songbook. Go to hymn 206, and we'll begin tonight. Hymn number 206. 206, oh say, but I'm glad. Hymn number 206, once you find your place, we'll lift our voices together on that verse now. There is a song in my heart today, something I've never had. Hymn number 206, let's lift it up on that verse now, 206.
There is a song in my heart today, something I've never had. Jesus has taken my sin.
On the service, so let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for all that chose to come out this evening and to worship you and sing these songs together and be edified. We just ask, Lord, your blessing upon us as we lift our voices to you in praise. Help us to be filled with your Spirit and that we'd be encouraged and that you just fill the preacher with your Holy Spirit tonight and give him power and unction so that he may preach boldly unto us, that we may have open our hearts and ears to receive the message tonight. And that all that's said and done, we'll give you the honor and praise you deserve for it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 205, number 205. He keeps me singing. Hymn number 205, we'll lift that up together on that verse. There's within my heart a melody. Hymn number 205, let's sing it out together.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin. Always looking on his smiling face, that is
Your hand and we'll get you a bulletin as soon as we possibly can. If you have a bulletin, please open it up and go ahead and look inside. And on the left hand side is our service times. We got our church soul winning times as well. And right below that is our regional soul winning groups and also our salvations and baptisms for the year. And of course, we had a happy birthday Sunday this past Sunday with our, you know, donut Sunday for those that had a birthday this month and also for the anniversaries. You know, and not just that, on the very bottom, we also want to remind people to keep praying for the expectant ladies in our church. Go ahead and flip it. And once again, another reminder, we will be taking portraits for our annual yearbook every Sunday, September 15th through November 3rd. If you have had your picture taken but not received the file, please speak with Brother Ramon. If you don't know who that is, come see me and I will help you out. Sign-up sheet is posted right over there near the missions information, so take a look at that when you get a chance. And, of course, we got the annual chili cook-off coming up, and that will be hosted on Thursday, October 31st from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. All chilies must be made from scratch. Chilies must be entered by 5 p.m. That's the cutoff. Size and spice cider will be provided by the church. And, of course, we got the upcoming events right there. So let's count the soul winning for the week. So if you got somebody saved on Monday, I'll start with my left side. Anybody for Monday? Two right over here. Anybody else for Monday? Tuesday, three, how many? 14. Any other salvations for Tuesday and today? Four, amen. Anybody else? Going once, going twice? All right, good job with the soul winning. Brother Daniel, next song.
All right, you should find the insert in front of your hymnal with the song entitled, Oh, It Is Wonderful to Be a Christian. If you don't have an insert, you can raise your hand and we'll sing it out together on that first verse. Life has purpose now it never had before. Sing it out together now.
Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful. Wonderful to be redeemed, justified forever.
100. Day by day, hymn number 100. Really think about these words as we sing tonight, schedule number 100, day by day, and with each passing moment.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strengthen my mind to meet my trials dear, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I know God.
And as we're passing out the offering plate, please turn your Bibles to Job chapter number 13. Job chapter number 13.
Job chapter number 13. Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. We are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer. or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? And wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth, as a garment that is moth-eaten.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask, Lord, that you will bless this service, Lord, bless the preaching. We thank you for bringing us here tonight, Lord, to hear your word. We ask that you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just really quickly, I just want to let you guys know that Pastor Anderson obviously is not preaching tonight, but he's good. He's with his family, you know, so we just felt to give him the day off, you know, because he pretty much had a long day. But he asked me to preach, and I'm like, sure, anything to be a blessing on the pastor. But once again, he's doing good. He's in good spirits. He's with his family. He's chilling. He's loving life. Amen? All right, so Job chapter number 13, I want you to focus in verse number 15 that says this: though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And the title of my sermon is this: Even if the right attitude when facing adversity. The right attitude when facing adversity. What do I mean by adversity? Adversity, I simply mean this: facing difficulties, challenges, hardships in life. It can include tough situations like illness, loss, obstacles that make things harder than usual. So what do we see here in Job? The right attitude. You guys know what's going on with Job if you know about the book of Job. He's not having an easy time in life. But yet I like what he said: though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know what he's saying? Even if God kills me, I'm still going to trust in him. Even if he kills me. And that's the attitude that we need to have when things get bad. Even if things get bad, guess what? I'm still coming to church. I'm still reading my Bible. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to go soul winning. I'm still going to do the basics of life. That you know something about them? You force God's hand a blessing upon you. I mean, think about it. If going soul winning, reading your Bible, right? If you repenting of sin, pray, getting up early, serving the Lord. I mean, if that doesn't get God's blessing upon you, what is going to do it? So those are the basics that I just recommend so that God can bless you. But see, obviously we know that things are going to get tough. Things will happen in your life. But never forget that, hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Hey, sometimes it's not going to be easy to say, even if the enemy attacks, even if bad things happen, even if health problems come. Sometimes that ain't easy to say that, but that's the attitude to have. Now, what if I get sick? What if I lose this? What if members leave? What if everything goes downhill? Not what if, but even if, I'm still showing up. Hands down, hands always raised. Pastor, what do you need? Hey, call me if you need me type deal. Now, what if this happens? What if that happens? And you go into panic mode. No. Switch your mentality. Now, what if something happens? No. Even if something happens, I'm still serving God. Amen? Amen. And I know it's not going to be easy. You know, I've gone through something recently where I'm just like, what in the world's going on? And I'm just like, you know what? Even if, Lord, even if you do that to me, you know what? I'm still going to get up early. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to go read my Bible. I'm still going to work out. Then I'm going to go to work, do my 6-12s, and I'm going to serve you no matter what you do. And in case you don't know, my son Sagan almost died this year. He almost died this year. It just came out of nowhere. I was in South Africa winning souls. I come back. My wife's like, hey, Sagan ain't doing so good. He's struggling with acid reflux. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, hey, you know how much he weighs right now? I'm like, how much? About 125 pounds. I'm like, how? I've only been gone for about 14 days. What the heck is going on? When I left, he was 145. He was cheery, you know, but now all of a sudden he's sluggish. He's having a hard time having energy. So I'm like, what in the world? So I'm like, that's too much weight. Good night, that's almost 20 pounds. Take him to urgent care. So she did. Takes him to urgent care. Sure enough, they look at him and they're like, whoa, something's wrong with your boy. He said, you got to go to the emergency room. Sure enough, head on to the emergency room. They look at him and they're like, what's going on? Oh, this is going on with my stomach. I have a hard time eating. I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm just struggling right now. It feels like my stomach is going through some kind of weird thing. And so it is what it is. They're like, okay, you probably have acid reflux, son. Hey, take these pills and call us in the morning. And they send him home. So it is what it is. Hey, we're just taking the doctor's advice. Take these pills, son, and give it some time. Let's see how you go. Well, guess what? 1 day passes, 2 days passes, 3 days passes, 4 days passes. I think 10 days pass when my wife comes to me and she's like, I don't know what to do with him. He's losing weight. I'm like, well, how much does he weigh now? I don't know. Let's put him on a scale. Put him on the scale in my office. He went from 125 to 114. We're like, whoa, that's like a pound a day. What the heck is going on? I'm like, hey, son, are you okay? He's like, yeah, because he's tough. He's trying to suck it up. I mean, he's still cleaning the building. He's still vacuuming. I'm like, son, can you do this? Yeah, no problem, Dad. He goes and takes care of the urn. In case y'all don't know, y'all probably seen him take care of the urn. That's his responsibility. He cleans out the urns. He puts them back. He cleans that section. That's his section right over there. So he's still doing it, but he can't like manage to do the whole thing. So he's recruiting his little sister. Hey, can you help me do this? Fix those books. Put these song sheets in those books, please. And so, of course, he goes back into my office like, Dad, I'm out. I'm out of energy. Woof, just plants himself on the couch. I'm like, son, what's the deal here? He's like, hey, how about this? Why don't we go to the gym? Let's see if I can at least get you a little tired and hungry so you can start eating because I got no appetite. Well, let's just go light. Went to Planet Fitness, hit the elliptical for about 15, 20 minutes, nice and light. He hit every single machine, every body part. Took us an hour, nice and light. He's like, okay, Dad, I'm a little hungry. All right, bring him here. He's like, Dad, can you make me some pork chops? He loves pork chops. He loves these little lean pork chops. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll give it to you. You know, we're buying these protein drinks from QT, you know, 40 grams per bottle. Here, drink this. Let's try to get you some protein in your system. Let's try to get you some carbs. So he's doing his best, and he ate more than he's ate in who knows how many days. Sure enough, next day comes around. We weigh him in, and he weighs 13 and a half pounds. He lost weight. I'm like, hey, you got to go. And only that, he's struggling to breathe. I mean, he is struggling bad. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Take him back. There's something wrong with him. And this time, demand a blood test. Demand a blood test. So she goes in there. She didn't have to demand it. They look at him. They're like, whoa, what's wrong with him? Bring him in here. We can tell he's sick. He looks like an AIDS patient at this point. Bony cheeks. Lips are all pulled back. Arms are skinny. His head's starting to stick out. You know, it's like, what the heck is going on? So sure enough, they're like, hey, something's wrong with him. Let's do his blood work. They did his blood work. Sure enough, it comes back bad. He's like, his acid levels are through the roof. His sugar levels are through the roof. Hey, we need to let you know that we think this is some kind of, I forgot what it was called, but it's some kind of type 1 diabetes. I forgot what they call it. We're like, type 1 diabetes? He's an athlete. He's not out of shape. He's like, no. This is the genetic one. This is the one that you get no matter what. If it's your time, it's your time. You know, this is what basically is coming from God is the way they explain it. It's not from bad eating. Nothing you can do can change this. It's just his genes. Hey, he's not producing insulin. I'm like, how? Nothing ever even came close to that. He's been a healthy kid since he was born. And so, of course, we don't know what to do. But they're like, hey, we got to take him to the ICU. It's so bad, he can go into a coma any moment and he can die. He's like, we're just trying to let you know really quickly. Hey, listen, it is bad. This is really bad. You know, and sure enough, one of the church members said, hey, one of my, you know, patients had that and died in the hospital, passed out in the hospital, and ended up dying. So I'm thinking, what is this? So, of course, I'm letting Pastor know. It's like, hey, I know you're in Armenia, but hey, FYI, this is what's going on. And I'm thinking, you might have to come back to where they're talking to do a funeral. So we're like, so all I can do is just wait. But you know what? I'm just praying to God. Like, God, I don't know. This is severe. It's like, is this really going to happen? Is he really going to die? And I kept saying to myself, you know what, Lord, whatever happens, even if he dies, I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to get up early and pray. I'm still going to read my Bible. I'm still going to be in the base shape of life. And I'm still going to level up my game as best I can and increase my service, not decrease my service. And so I just said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I mean, how much can I actually pray? I got to go to work. I got to do 12 hours. Pastor's like, hey, take some time off. You know, it's like, hey, deal with your family. I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's in the ICU. What am I supposed to do? So for me, it's like, hey, I know one thing. God wants me to go work. I'm going to go work. Because I'm doing everything in my power to just please God so he can let him live. Because I'm literally thinking, he's literally going to die. Are you kidding me? I'm going to have a funeral this year? What in the world's going on? But I kept telling God, God, I don't know if you're going to let him live. But even if you don't, once again, even if you don't, I'm still going to serve you. Even if you don't, I'm still going to get up. I'm not going to get mad at God. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm thinking, if I lose a child, oh, well, you know, it's like I can't do anything about it, but I'm going to try my best to see if I can at least help the situation by not getting away from God and getting mad and losing my faith and getting upset, getting depressed. Instead, no, time to step it up and do more soul winning. As much as I can, I'm going to do more. Not less, but a whole lot more. Because that bad things can happen, you know, even if you are doing everything right. You know, it's like, hey, you know what? One of the things that we obviously know that's going on is, you know, we got rebellious kids. And people are confused. They're super confused about that. They're like, how could this be? Well, like, what did I do wrong? Hey, someone told me nobody's immune from having rebellious kids. They're just not. And, of course, they always think of who? Samuel. Samuel always comes up. Samuel had two sons that were really bad. They perverted judgment. They didn't walk in the ways of Samuel. So, of course, can anybody deny that Samuel, you know, was a good guy? Can anybody just say, no, he wasn't. This is what he did wrong? I don't think so. Eli, of course, he was weak. Out of shape, of course, but weak as well. And, of course, who else that I can think of that had bad kids in his family? Bloodthirsty kids. And nobody will blame this guy if you were to ask somebody, hey, you think this is Jacob's fault for what Judah did to his brother Joseph? Wasn't it his idea to kill him? Who saved his hide? Wasn't it Reuben? He's like, no, 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 don't kill him. They threw him in a pit, and how many was it? 10. 10 were in on it, on this evil, wicked plan. True? But would anyone blame Jacob for that? No. No. But you can say, hey, but, you know, he might be suffering from his past sins because we know what Jacob did in the past, right? Hey, listen, you can be the most perfect person on the planet, and your kids can still have issues. Don't believe me? You're right there in Job 13. Let's go to Job 1. Let's go to Job 1. And listen, when things hit hard, it could be an illness, your children. It could be anything. Adversity can come to make it harder for you to serve God. Have that mentality. Even if. Not what if my kids turn out bad. What if? It's going to mess you up. How about even if they do keep serving God? Two wrongs don't make a right. They go astray, you keep serving God. It's the best thing you can do. It's the only thing you can do. But go ahead and look at Job. Can anybody deny that Job was a good guy? Let's just remind ourselves of that. Job 1:1 says this. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Can anybody deny that Job is awesome? And keep reading. And there were born unto him, what? 7 sons and 3 daughters. And I don't think these daughters were married. They were single. So I don't think they're in their 30s or 40s or 50s. I think they're probably in their 20s. It doesn't say that. But, hey, daughters, it was just 10 of them. We know they were partying together at his house. Chances are they were probably single. And keep reading. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of these. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it says in verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. That's not an easy thing to do. So what do we see so far? He's offering what? Burnt offerings according to the number of them all. So that's a lot of burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Well, let's keep reading. Why did he do that? For Job said, let's take a quick look. It may be that my sons are living righteous, but I just want to go the extra mile for the Lord and tell them how much I appreciate my kids, so I'm going to do burnt offerings for them. Is that what it says? No. What's it say? It may be that my sons and my daughters are such amazing children that I'm just going to give God some burnt offerings because you know what? I just want to thank him for giving me some blessed, amazing kids. Is that what it says? No. Why is he giving these burnt offerings? It says it may be that my sons have sinned and what? Curse God in their what? hearts. Thus did Job continually. So is it saying that his children are sinning? No, but Job is nervous. Why would he go through all this trouble, burn offerings, and then basically say, hey, in case they have sinned and cursed God in their hearts? He's probably saying that because these kids are making him think that they're probably in sin and cursing God in their hearts. And is it because they're living a righteous life? Or is it more likely that they're living a wicked life? You decide what you want with that information. But I think the kids, Job's kids, were not perfect kids. These are 10. He's saying, hey, I'm going to do a burnt offering according to the number of their names. And then he says, why? It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And we know the story. The devil came and destroyed Job's business, came after Job, went after his kids, and he killed all of them. My guess is maybe they were so wicked they weren't going to repent. And God's like, hey, I'm going to just take them out before they get worse. But don't worry, you got a happy evening. I'm going to give you more kids. I don't know. That's just my theory. Don't take that to the bank because that check may not cash, you know. But that's my theory as to why all 10 of them died. But let's go to Daniel. Look at the attitude in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, if you can get there as fast as you can. While you're going there, I'm going to keep reading from Job 13. Look at Job's attitude, or just listen to Job's attitude. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also should be my salvation. What a great attitude. Saying, if God kills me, I'm still going to trust in him. I'm still going to maintain my own ways before him. Hey, he's still going to be my salvation. For a hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your eyes. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. He's saying, I don't know what the heck is going on right now in my life. It seems like all this stuff is hitting me because I might be doing something wrong. But you know what? I know I'm not doing anything wrong. I know that at the end, no matter what people are saying about me, hey, if I'm right with the Lord, I am going to be justified. So even if bad things happen and people blame you and start looking at you crazy and wondering what you're doing wrong in life, even if people start accusing you of false stuff that they have no evidence for, they're just thinking that this is what's going on, even if the whole world starts accusing you of being wicked or whatever they want to accuse you of, you know what? Who cares? Just keep on serving God. Even if that happens to you, don't quit. Keep the basics. Keep praying. Keep getting up, reading your Bible, serving God. That's the best thing for you. Amen? But look at the attitude that Daniel had, or we see it in the book of Daniel. Go to verse number 4 in chapter number 3. Daniel 3, 4. You can catch up in verse number 5. I'm going to be verse number 4. Then a herald cried aloud. This is the story of Nebuchadnezzar. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that all what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship it shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I don't think that's going to be good. I think there's going to be some serious pain. But let's go to verse number 8. You guys already know the story. You know, they make a law. Anybody that doesn't worship this golden image is going to be burnt to death. That was the law. But what do we see? We see an awesome attitude. Daniel 3:8 says this, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. But there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So what are they saying? Hey, our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to do what's right. We're still going to believe all the way unto our death. And they probably thought it was going to happen that very hour, but they weren't careful to answer the king. But I like the attitude, even if God doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to worship you. We're still going to do what's right, and we're going to die serving you, and that's the way to go, amen? Hey, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or in heaven, when we have battles in church, that you will be embarrassed that you were too scared to keep fighting. And you decided to just bounce. And listen, I'm telling you, this is going to happen every so often until you guys probably die. This ain't my first battle that we're going through, and it's not going to be our last. But there's always a happy ending, and then sure enough, we have another battle down the road. It just seems to happen. The first battle I ever went through was with my first church back in Redwood or in Northern California with Redwood Baptist Church. The pastor made some decisions. Sure enough, they were bad decisions, but he did his best. He sought counsel from his deacons, trying to figure out, hey, I think we should do this. They're like, hey, sounds like a good idea. We voted on it. Guess what? Turned out it was a bad idea. We go from being in the black to being in the red, owing money. Everybody starts getting into panic mode. And sure enough, I remember this conversation I had with this one church member that left the church. He was hot. He was heated. He was mad. Brother Alvarado. Nobody knows who he is, so I can say that name. This story is based on a true story. Brother Alvarado was mad. He was one of our most loyal members. He's the guy that would do soul winning, had those obedient, nice kids that sat down and never said a word. Always in a suit and tie. Brother Barato, his wife, dressed like a lawyer, ready for court every single Sunday. Old IFB, faithful man, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, tither, you name it. But then we go through a little adversity, and he starts to lose his mind. Just because the church is losing money really quickly and we're in the red, he starts to panic. And I remember seeing him, and he's mad. He's like, they just got out of a meeting. I wasn't a deacon. He was. He's like, just like mad. I'm like, Brother Rod, are you good? He's like, that man deserves to be in jail. I'm like, whoa. He's like, if you knew what he did with our finances, I said, whoa, it was a church decision. What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, he's just mad. Well, he left the church. 6 months later, we go from being in the red to $3.6 million in the bank. Yes, he was a dummy. He was too prideful to come back. If he had waited, God would have gave us the victory. And we had too much money. You know what we did? We bought a bigger property. It's what old IFB guys do all the time. They have a big property. They get some money, they buy a bigger property. They must have sent fields of dreams too many much. If you build it, they will come. Old school, yes. For all you teenagers, what is field of dreams, Dad? What is that? Is that a book I should read? Well, listen, if you're going to have this attitude that says, even if things go bad, I'm still sticking around. Even if I get health problems, I'm still praying. I'm still getting up. I'm still serving you, God. Even if you enter whatever. Even if, hey, I'm still going to serve you and obey your word and do what you tell me to do, Lord. And you will not regret it. But if you're going to have this attitude, these are three things that I believe that I need to start focusing on more to step up my attitude or help me to get this attitude. Because we all know we need to go to church. We all know we need to read our Bible. We all know we need to go soul winning. But if I have to talk to my kids and be like, hey, this is the thing we're going to start working on right now, because you know what? The devil's attacking hard. And guess what? I don't think the devil is going to quit anytime soon. But last time I checked, isn't there a verse that says resist the devil and he will what? Flee. So don't drop out before he flees. You will regret it. I promise you that. Just stick it out. But you know what? Even if he never flees, I'm still staying. Amen. Because it's the right thing to do. You may not be the pastor that takes the biggest beating, or even the assistant that barely takes any beating. I'm a nobody. Nobody knows who I really am. I'm a do nothing. You're like, man, you got such wonderful kids, brothers and girls. What's your secret? Don't do anything for God. And the devil won't go after your kids. I'm not surprised. I don't know if they're watching. Solomon, Isaac, John. I shouldn't be talking to them because they're excommunicated. If they want to talk to someone at church, they need to talk to their dad and apologize for all the crap they're doing. But I'm going to say this. Miriam, if you're out there, I'm not surprised that the devil went after you guys hard, because you guys had a crap load of potential. And we still love you guys. Hey, I'm telling you, I am not surprised. I am not shocked one bit that the devil went hard after you guys, because your dad is not David, Pastor Robinson. He's Job, amen? Amen. That's who he is. The greatest man alive. That's why he's going hard after him. That's why the devil's saying wicked people into your lives. You guys had a crap load of potential, and you still do. You still do. It's not too late. Hey, older people here will tell you, we've made mistakes. We made mistakes. But you guys are in sin. You refuse to repent. So we'll help you by praying for you every day that you repent. Or guess what? We'll let the devil do his work to humble you. Because that's why you guys are probably getting attacked. You don't even know it. You're tools of the devil. You guys had a crap load of potential. John, there's so much soul winning. Isaac, you even said it yourself. So many places that your dad took you to win souls. Solomon, same deal. All you guys had a crap load of potential, but now you guys are blinded by sin. I'm telling you, you're not reading your Bible. You're not keeping the basics. You're not getting up early to pray. You're just going through life, walking in the flesh. That's why you can't see clearly. Test me out. Get up early. Get up early. 4 a.m. Go out there for a 30-minute walk. Read your Bible for an hour a day. And in 120 days, you'll come back telling us how retarded you are. That's the only thing that's going to happen. You claim you read your Bible a lot, Isaac, 8 times. I call you out and I call you a liar. Because the Bible says when you read the Bible a lot, you're going to be humble. You're going to fear God. That's it. You ain't humble. You don't fear God. You may think you do, but you're a liar. Because by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Amen. And you guys aren't even going to church right now. You're staring at me right now. So I'm just trying to help you out. You think you're hardcore, Isaac? Get up. 3:45 a.m. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Buy yourself an elliptical. Get shredded because you're pretty chubby. I'm just trying to help you out. I'm trying to get you ripped, rich, and religious, buddy. Because that's what you want. You want to be ripped? You look like baby Hercules from the Eddie Murphy movie. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules. Google it. You'll see what I'm saying. Hercules, Hercules. That's who you are. But I know you want to be ripped. Hey, I want you to be rich, but rich towards God. Amen. And you're only going to get that by being right with God. Keep winning souls before you waste your life, your potential. And I want you to get religious, because guess what? Religion is a good thing. And that's what you're going to need. So I'm just doing this for you. I'm trying to help you out. But keep listening. I ain't done. Mark 9. Mark 9, please. Go to Mark 9. Let me remind you how important prayer is. That's one thing I told my kids. Hey, listen, the devil ain't going to stop anytime soon, but we're going to resist him until he quits. And he will quit, because that's what the Bible says is going to happen. We're going to resist him, and he will flee. And guess where he's going to go? Jason Robinson's church, Pastor Burson's church, all these weakling churches. When he realizes he's wasting his time trying to take us down. Hey, we've been the tip of the spear since Pastor started his church. Amen? We're the tip of the spear. Hey, it's faithful word against the world. Amen? But praise God, Pastor Mejia is still on our side. Pastor Shelley is still on our side. Pastor Jimenez is still on our side. So let's pray that we all get boldness. Amen? Amen. Because that's what's going to come. Let's take a quick look. Verse number 29. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, and many men desire to be first, the same shall be last, and servant of all. Keep serving God, amen? Keep serving, don't stop. Hey, remember that battle where there were men that were so tired they couldn't go into the main battle? They stayed behind, and all they can do is watch the gear? Hey, that's what you guys are doing, just coming to church every single day. Pastor's the one that has to go out there and get the people back. And he's going to do it through fighting through the sword of the Lord, amen? Amen. That's how he's going to do his fighting. We just ask you to just watch the gear, but just sit in there. It ain't too difficult. Just come, keep coming, sit there, hang on tight, buckle up. This roller coaster ride is going to get wild, amen?
Amen.
But I don't want you to get thrown off because you're going to die and ruin your life. You're going to be spiritually paralyzed. You're going to not be able to do much for the Lord. If you don't make it through this fight, it's going to be harder when the next one comes. So once you go through the first one, hey, then the second one's easier, third one's easier, fourth one's easier. Every so often, God's going to allow this to happen. Why? Because he's trying to take the trash out of the church.
Right.
And that's what this has happened. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you, John. Thank you, Miriam. Thank you, Solomon, for helping take out the trash out of our church and out of our friend's church and out of our movement. Amen?
Amen.
Because it needs to happen every so often. Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't like to stink. And so people leave, and I'm not attacking people, everyone that has left, but people leave for two reasons. One, because they're weak, or two, because they're wicked. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, what happens? Your strength is small. Now, I hope everybody here is here because you believe that Pastor Anderson is 100% qualified, 100% innocent. I hope you're not just here half in, half out. But if you need a little help, let me help you. I can give you like the best evidence ever that Pastor Anderson is innocent. I can straight up help you to figure this whole thing out. You know what I'm going to tell you to do? Get right with God. That's what I'm going to tell you to do. Because last time I checked, if you're not sure, if you're still struggling with this, that means you can't see it. That means you don't have wisdom. And last time I checked, what does the Bible say? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask who? God. That's going to give to every man liberally. And not just that, last time I checked, Ecclesiastes 2:26, I like to preach on that because it's very clear how to get wisdom. It says when a man is good in his sight, he gives him wisdom. Wisdom. So why are these guys not able to see the errors of their way? Because they're not good in God's sight. They think they're clean cut, good, Christian, whatever. You know, that's what they claim, but their actions speak louder than words, right? We know what time it is. We can see clearly because you guys are here. God is blessing you with the ability to see, the ability to hear. He's blessing you guys with wisdom because you guys are obeying him. You guys are good in his sight. That's why you guys can see what the world cannot see. We know what's going on. We can see clear as day. We know what the issues are. But no one else can see it. Why? All I can tell you is they're not right with the Lord or they would be able to see it. I mean, how else do you explain it? If you're right with the Lord, doesn't it say he'll give you wisdom? Doesn't it say he'll give you knowledge? Doesn't it say it'll give you joy? Amen, it does. So keep doing what's right. Keep the basics. Hey, God's going to give you wisdom. You'll be able to see if you don't see already. But besides that, hey, if you want to be able to have that, hey, even if attitude and not fall for sin, not fall for temptation, you got to just watch and pray. I don't got time to go over these verses, but I'm going to just talk about one. Acts 4:24, if you can go to Acts 4:24. Just go to Acts 4:24 so you can see how the apostles got that even if attitude. Even if. Doesn't matter what happens. Even if whatever happens. Even if this. Even if that. Even if whatever happens. You know what? Bottom line is, always have that attitude. Even if. Even if. Even if. Even if. Even if. I don't care. Even if that happens, I'm still coming. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm still coming. Even if they say this, even if they do that, I'm still coming. I'm still coming. Acts 4:24, once again, shows you the importance of prayer. Hey, the apostles knew how important it was. Let's take a look at verse number 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For I have a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. We're receiving a lot of threatenings, aren't we? And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. And how many times did they threaten the apostles? And what did they say? We ought to obey God rather than man. Even if you beat us, even if you beat us, we're still going to obey God. Amen. We're still going to follow God, because they had that even if attitude that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Even if he doesn't answer our prayers, we're still not going to worship you. Even if he slays me, hey, I'm still going to trust him. Amen. And besides that, you saw what they were doing. The apostles were praying, but they were quoting what? They were quoting Psalms what? Psalms 2. So my other point is this. If you're going to have that even if attitude, you have to have some verses to help you have it. And I just wrote a few. Not the reference, just a few. I was just thinking, okay, what verses do I have memorized that I bust out a lot? How about this one? Righteousness is salt in a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Why do I quote that? To keep me from sinning. To remind myself that I want to make America great again, and it ain't going to be through my vote. It's going to be through my righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
And besides that, be ye angry and sin not, because I get angry a lot. But I try to remind myself not to sin. So if you get angry with the stuff that you hear, the things that happen, hey, praise the Lord. You're normal, but make sure you sin not. Amen? This is just a basic one. Fear not. I just remind myself, fear not, fear not, fear not. It's the first thing in Revelation 21. What? 8. But the what? Fearful. It's a sin to be fearful. That's why God tells us many times, be very courageous.
Amen.
So keep your heart from fretting. What does the Bible say? The Bible makes it very clear. Let not your heart. You understand? It says, let not your heart basically envy sinners. You know, we'll see the sinner looking like they're winning or whatever the case. But there's another verse that I can't think of where Jesus says, hey, you believe in me, believe also in God. Or if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. But I think it was something to the degree where it said, let not your heart be troubled. That's what it is. And that's what I want to remind myself, not to let your heart be troubled. Other verses, be very courageous. Let not your heart envy sinners, because these things happen a lot. It's easy for our hearts to envy sinners. Overcome evil with good. Love one another as I have loved you. That's something that reminds me to be like Christ and be able to love everyone in this church. Amen. And when I start getting a little contentious with people, I got to watch it. It could be my pride, because only by pride cometh what? Contention. Amen. So why are there beasts between people? Pride. Hopefully it's not you and it's the other person. Amen. Hey, thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I don't want this verse. This verse, if thou faint in the day of adversity, to talk about me. I don't want that to be me one day. I want to endure to the end, make it to the end, and finish my race strong, you know, because it is what it is. I just don't want to quit. Losing is one thing, quitting is another. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. This verse kept me in church. And hopefully this reminds you to stay in church as well and to keep God number one. Without me, you can do nothing. These are just things that pop in my head. So the one thing I'm just telling you that I'm going to try to do more is pray more. The other thing I'm going to try to do is I'm trying to memorize more scripture, refresh my verses that I memorized in the past, get them in my heart so I can spit them out when it's time. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was tempted? He quoted scripture. Hint, hint. It's not there just to be a cool story. He quoted scripture to help you succeed and be successful. And as we saw that the apostles we're quoting Psalms 2. Another thing that I'm doing that's going to help me, and when I think of this point, I think of Lola. I'm not trying to embarrass her. But why do I think of Lola? Because Lola had this sheet that has songs for everything from being sad. She would sing this. You know, from being happy, she would sing this. And she gave it to me a long time ago, and I lost it. But that's okay, because we know that music is important. Singing unto the Lord is very important. Oh, I don't like the hymns. Then figure out something. I don't know how many of you guys have heard of Faith Music Ministries. Matt, really? Never heard of it? Okay, good. Raise your hand, buddy. Help me out here. No. I see that hand. Well, listen, it's an app. Instead of going to Spotify and listening to who knows what, I recommend checking out Faith Music Ministries because the music is really good. Not all of it is like as good as the others, but the music is pretty good. And it just sticks in my head. I'll try to listen to it as much as I can. Why? You know, I'll finish up with these verses. Matthew 26:30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went on into the Mount of Olives. Acts 16:22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate ran off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. You guys know the story, very famous, use it also winning a lot. Maybe not these verses, but verse 31. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the parishioners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Music is super important. Do what you need to do to get it in your heart. I recommend the app just because it has a lot of songs that I like to help me with whatever situation I'm going through. Like, for example, we're going through a lot right now, right? And there's this song that pops up that I like to listen to, and I'm going to butcher it right now, but some of you probably recognize it, and maybe Matt will recognize it. And it says something like this. I'm going to just make up the lyrics because I don't know, I have them down. So I'm about to do my American Idol moment, all right? Here we go. The preachers are weary. The soul winners are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. Some are determined to carry the load. But me must determine to keep pressing on. For it's Jeff one more soul order to walk down the aisle. It'll be worth every struggle. It'll be worth every mile. That's all I know. A lifetime of service is still worth it all. That's just one of them. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm the child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. Huh? Nobody knows those songs? Ah, I see that hand over there. What's another? If you could see what I once was. If you can go with me back to where I started from. I know Pastor doesn't like it, but I do. If you ever wonder, why don't we sing it? Because Pastor's like, nah, I like the one in the hymn. Well, cool. But hey, whenever I get like a little like, oh man, dude, what's going on? I sing the first one. You understand? Whenever I just want to get myself in a good mood that I'm on my way to heaven, I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. And you know what? And then it just changes my mood. Hey, the Marine Corps has, you know, music for battle. The Army has music for battle. Right? So God's people needs to start learning some music for battle. That's just facts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to level up my life by trying to add more prayer, by trying to get my kids to memorize more scripture, and by learning as many songs as I possibly can so when I end up in the loony house, I'm going to basically take all those walking zombies and teach them to sing, amen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, they know. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, come see me, I'll let you know. And if you want to know what's going on and what the heck I'm talking about, zombies, nut house, whatever, hey, you better go ahead and friend Pastor Anderson on his Facebook because he's about to let it rip. And that's all I got for tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Lord, obviously, I did my best to preach to your people and feed your people and remind your people that the fight is real. For those that are here never gone through a battle, all I can say is, Lord, help them to stay steadfast, unmovable. For those of us that are vets, help us not to get haughty, Lord, not to get prideful, and to just remember to take heed lest we fall. And not just that, Lord, I ask you that you bless Pastor Anderson as he's having a good time with his family. And, you know, he's taking a much-deserved day off there, Lord. And obviously, whatever we can do to make his life better, we ask you to reveal it to us so we can do it. And I thank you once again for all that you've done and what you're going to do with Faithful Word Baptist Church. I thank you for all that you're going to do. And once again, Lord, it's Faithful Word against the world. Give us the W soon. Amen.
Amen. Take your songbooks together. Go to hymn 308. Hymn 308. And we'll sing together, I Surrender All. Hymn number 308. All to Jesus, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. Hymn number 308. Sing it out together now.
All to Jesus, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him.
Daniel, Brother Raymond, Brother Anselm, Brother Noble, who else? Brother Matt Walker, is he here?
Yeah.
Brother Matt Walker, who else? Sorry to take extra time. I just want to get you guys for a lead. Brother Caleb, and who else? You as well. I'm trying to protect you from, you know, YouTube land. No, I'm just kidding.
Other than that, we're dismissed. Thank you.